Get this, a dating site for anti-vaxxers called Unjected.
Unjected has been removed from the Apple App Store.
It is the unvaccinated who are the problem, period, end of story.
Frankly, we know that we can't trust the unvaccinated.
It's the unvaccinated who are the threat.
Unvaccinated guy who gobbled horse goo.
Rest in peace, Wheezy.
The Unjected Show, with your hosts, Shelby Thompson, Scott Armstrong, and Zach Brown. The Unjected Show is intended for an adult audience and may contain explicit material. User discretion is advised.
Aloha!
Aloha.
What's up, fam?
What is happening?
Well, sideways. What's, how's everyone doing?
Dude, I'm like sweating over here. Jesus.
I know.
So crazy. That is crazy, dude.
You're like, so excited you're sweating.
Oh, my God. Like, Shelby and I was showing her all the stuff I had pulled up for the episode tonight. We were getting so fired up and pumped. We're just drowning in gravy over here. And I was like, oh, my God, it's like 7:02. Like, what the hell is going on here?
Like, so fashionably late.
Yeah. What's going on, Zach?
Not much. I have crazy diarrhea right now, but.
Oh, okay.
No, are you okay?
Okay.
Yeah. No, I feel fine. Feel great, actually, just to have diarrhea.
You're just getting it out. You need the brat diet. Bananas, apples, rice.
No, so I'm the exact opposite right now. I'm strict keto, only protein and fat.
Oh, is that what's going on? Okay.
Did you eat something bad?
I don't think so. Maybe, but I don't think so.
Well, I hope you feel better.
I don't feel bad. Here's the thing. I don't feel bad. I feel great, actually, but it's just I have diarrhea.
It's probably, dude, it's probably just your body just detoxing, cleansing, like just pushing
Could
out
be.
all the nasty stuff, dude.
Very yeah.
Well, you know, what happens is like I learned this from our friend Daryl Becker, who I had on my show last week, I think, week before.
Oh,
like
our
that.
Unjected member in Big Island, right?
Yeah. So he, you know, he's a holistic health coach and has a lot of like medical background. He was talking about how, and I'd heard this before, but it's like, you know, all of the, so what happens is when we ingest toxins, which we are constantly inundated with, right?
Yeah.
Those, our body has this natural process of getting them as far away from the vital organs as possible. So it like sequesters all of like the heavy metals and the toxins in our fat, which is like its way of keeping it away from the organs and storing it in the fat. So when we get in like a ketogenic routine, or we get into like, you know, heavy exercise or some sort of fat burning routine in one way or another, then that fat being metabolized releases those toxins back into our system. And so you could just be just, you know, just eliminating all that crap that's just been, you know,
that makes sense.
Yeah. It could be, because it's been like over a week, and this is the first time I've had diarrhea. So
interesting.
Could be
interesting. That just means it's working really well.
Yeah, it's doing its job.
Yeah. Well, man, like I was saying in the beginning, we got a freaking awesome show for you guys tonight. Like, I'm
we have
super
been
pumped
out so hard over here, you guys. Ever since the show last week, where we discovered the anti-vaccination league
live on the air. You guys saw it.
Live on the air. You all witnessed it.
Yeah.
And we have breathed life back into it. And that's why Scott's sweating. That's why I'm so excited. We have reborn what our ancestors began.
Uh-huh. It's pretty wild. I'm so excited to show you guys like what all we've been working on. And like, we're going to get into some of the history tonight, and we're going to show you why the anti-vaccination league is more important now than ever. So,
yeah.
But maybe before we get too far into it, Shelby, you want to tell us about your big event in July?
Yeah, guys, I'm going to be going to Freedom Fest in Vegas, July 10th through the 13th. It's going to be just an amazing gathering of freedom fighters, speakers, late night comedy, music. We're going to be discussing, as you saw at the top, a brave new world. And what does that mean for the rest of us? So I was so honored that Unjected was asked to come and speak. And also, we're going to have a booth in the trade show. So come down to Vegas, come say hi, give some hugs, and come to Freedom Fest. You can use the code UNJECTED50 for a discount on your tickets. But I'm so excited. This is going to be my first time in Vegas, you guys.
Wow, that's
so
awesome.
Cool. The Caesars Forum.
Yeah, that's awesome. Zach, are you going to that Third Eye Festival thing in Colorado with Steve and all that? Has he talked to you about that yet?
I know of it, but when is it?
It's the weekend before this.
Okay. That's interesting.
Yeah, I know. So I'm like, I'm going to be in Colorado anyway, like the weekend before. I was like, fuck, should I just like make it like a double? I might just like pop over to Vegas real quick, like for this. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Do it.
So I'll already be in Colorado. I'll already be traveling. Dude, Zach, come on, dude. Let's rally.
Unjected family. Let's all rent a giant penthouse and have a hangover-esque party. In Vegas.
I'm gonna rent a fucking hotel room and then shoot up a concert like Steven Paddock. What I will be doing.
No. Hey, that never happened.
That didn't even happen.
That was a setup. He could have never fired that many rounds.
Okay, hold on. I don't know if we talked about this on the show yet. Yeah. Maybe we have. Okay, but I know two people that were there. Okay.
Concert, two of people?
I met three of them. I met one gal who started an organization here to help the survivors, some of the survivors. I went on a date with her. I met her on like Bumble or something. And she's like one of the people that like started an organization here. And then I met a guy who has a roommate who they were both there. Now I remember, when that happened. And then like a month later, there was another shooting at a country music bar in California or something like that.
I don't remember that part.
That there were some people that were at the Vegas shooting that were also at this concert too, like two concert shootings in a row. And like, so when I heard that
final destination,
I was like, crisis actor guarantee, you know what I'm saying? But
wasn't Dan Bilzerian at the Vegas shooting?
I honestly don't know. I can't remember about that element of it. But the weird thing is that, you know, so those people that were being reported as having been at both concerts, I met some of them here. Like I know them. I know two of them that are here, and I trust them implicitly. And I'm like, damn, that's fucking crazy. So I don't know. Who knows what happened that night? I'm more leaning towards, you know, I think there was a shooting in Vegas, but I think it was obviously not one single shooter in a fucking, there was like helicopters. Like helicopters shooting and stuff. Like
the amount of rounds he had, it just alone. It's damn near impossible how you get the glass out of those hotel windows. I mean, those are heavy. I mean, it just seems so, and he has a weird past too. He had like he made a living off of real estate and gambling.
Yeah.
He's like a very,
weird
guy.
Yeah. Didn't his brother go to prison for like child pornography and stuff too, or something like that?
I don't know.
Yeah, dude, it's the whole thing is just a fucking mess. Or maybe his wife or somewhere. I feel like there was something involved with that somehow.
I know that like when they interviewed his brother immediately after, and I don't know if that was the guy who went to prison for a child. I guess I haven't heard that, but he did say it was like it's not in character. It's like there's nothing about him that would say, but you know, I want to shoot up a country music concert.
I remember that.
I
remember that interview.
Oh, interesting.
There you go. But now it says dismissed, charges dismissed. Oh, because he kept his mouth shut. So they're like, listen here, buddy. We got this shit on you. He's like, I know it couldn't have been him. And they're we're gonna put a bunch of child pornography on your computer. How do you like that? And then he's like, okay.
Gun experts have studied the video, the audio of the video.
Yeah.
And what do you call that? The fire rate, the rate of fire. Yeah. It didn't align with the gun he was supposedly using. Like with even it wasn't even close. Yeah, it wasn't even close.
Exactly.
And so it's a very bizarre situation.
It falls under the 9/11 category where it's like, you know, we don't know what happened, but we can prove without a doubt that your official story is not.
That's literally like every American. Yes. It's like every American conspiracy is like, I don't think we're ever going to get to the bottom of it because they have too many things concealed. But we know that 9/11 didn't happen the way they said it. Yeah. We know JFK didn't happen the way RFK and JFK didn't happen the way they said it. Maui, we know that didn't happen the way they said it did. I mean, Vegas shooting, Stephen Paddock. I mean, there's a plethora of things, even overseas. It's like the Gulf of Tonkin.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know exactly what happened, but it didn't happen that way. Yeah. All the Bay of everything. Like there's so many. And then the craziest shit is when you get real close to it, like Gary Webb did.
Yeah.
With the drugs that were coming back from Nicaragua when we were shipping arms to the Sandinistas, and we were peddling back drugs that were then being flooded into the inner cities via the CIA to get the inner city population hooked on crack, which then became the main drug war. That was Reagan's big thing. It was a war on drugs, right. And it was just a very like. And the people who do get close, they die. Terrence Yeakey from the Oklahoma City bombing. That's another one. I don't know exactly what happened.
Look into that one, dude.
It didn't happen that way. Terrence Yeakey, he ends up dead. And this is how he died. They find his truck with covered in blood, keys thrown inside, truck's locked. So clearly this is somebody in that truck had sustained life-threatening wounds.
He was a police officer too.
He was a police officer. He was one of the very first on the scene who was going in and bringing people out of the building. I forget the Murrah building, I think it's called.
Murrah, yep.
And then, so this is the technical story of his death. He slashes himself up to the point of bleeding out, gets out of his truck, throws his keys in the truck, locks the truck, closes the door, climbs over a fence, walks a mile, and then shoots himself. And then the Oklahoma City police get there. There's no record of finding a gun there. But then when the FBI shows up, automatically, that magically it shows up like less than 5 feet away from his body.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
So it was like they beat the shit out of him, drag him like over barbed wire fence and like all this crazy shit, and then like left him, basically shot him in the head, and they're like, oh no, it's a suicide.
There's a second component to this story too, because there was a guy in prison who agents beat the shit out of, who looked like a guy who was close to McVeigh. Mm-hmm. And so they confused a guy who was close to McVeigh, who they thought would blab, as another guy. So they beat the merciless shit out of an innocent person. Well, not innocent. They were in prison, but innocent in this case. And they beat the fuck out of him and killed him, I think. I think he died from his injuries. And then they found out that's the wrong guy. He just looked like the guy who had been seen multiple times with McVeigh leading up to the bombing. And yeah, it's crazy. And then there's like 60 witnesses that saw McVeigh in a national park with two other people. It's so oddly enough, it may be the most nuanced and interesting conspiracy theory out there. I know there's the JFKs and the 9/11s, but this one in particular, it was so sloppily carried out.
Oklahoma City, yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Do you know about the Eglin blast effect study?
No, I don't.
You know about this, dude? This is the fucking
Eglin's best.
No, I'll pull it up here. It might be kind of hard to find. I used to have trouble finding it when I was looking this shit up, dude. Oh, there you go. You might be able to find it.
This conversation
right
disturbs me.
Yeah, hold on. So,
how close we are to Maui with all this.
Yeah, well, so the Eglin blast effect study. So this was a study conducted by the U.S. Air Force. So it's a credible source, I would have to say. Okay, no, I'm just saying. What they did is they attempted, and this is the actual blast effect study, what they did is they built a replica of the Murrah building, okay? And they set it up exactly the same way as the blast, as like the bombing supposedly happened. And essentially there was no damage. They used like the same truck, same amount of supposed, explosive material, all of this stuff, and they concluded that there's absolutely no way that the damn thing blew up the way it did. Well, it's just taking time to load. It's just taking forever to load.
Well, and the van that he had, the amount of explosives that it would take to do that much damage to that building, it was too small. You couldn't fit enough explosives in that size of a vehicle.
Yeah,
and this is the craziest part too. Is it's like, oh, you know, the logical conclusion here is that there seems to have been FBI involvement in this. And people are like, well, that's a little bit far-fetched. It's like, well, it's been proven in court already. If you look up the Sammy Osmakat case in Florida, they caught them red-handed because they got them on tape. They got the FBI on tape saying he wouldn't be doing this if we weren't egging him on.
Totally, yeah. So,
and it was, and they were picking on a fucking like retarded Albanian kid. It was like a white Albanian Muslim who they basically entrapped and baited into being a terrorist. And this was like the time of like the Bosnia Kosovo shit, and he had immigrated over here, and he, like I said, he was like mildly retarded, and they goaded him into doing this scheme of you know, a terrorist scheme, and they caught the fucking FBI agent on tape. And you can actually, I think it's still up, I think that the audio is still up on the Intercept's website. You can go over there and listen to it. And at first the judge tried to seal it, but then they got fucked with FOIA. So
it's
and I can almost guarantee you with like the Maui incident.
Yeah.
Most likely was a lot of this is experimentation. So I've always approached the Vietnam War as like an experimentation for DARPA. Cause if at that time DARPA was quickly advancing off of the foothold that they got post World War II, studying Nazi science and weaponry and all of that, they got a foothold in this brand new technology, and they wanted to test it out. And it seemed like Vietnam was the playground for them, Agent Orange, and there was a bunch of different things. And because from the beginning we were losing that war, we were fucked. We got shit on from day one to the end. I mean, we were getting our faces shat upon, and so it doesn't make any sense from a strategic perspective that we would stay in there. We were saying we were fighting, you know, insurgents of communism coming from the north. It's like, no, because it was not effective. But DARPA was doing a lot of shit at that time, and it just seems like this Maui thing, it just seems like a DARPA. It seems like an experimental thing, because the response to that, not only because Katrina, it's one thing. Katrina was botched. It was negligence, and it seemed like there was just no. It's like they took advantage of a natural disaster in a hurricane, and then said, we're not really going to help the Ninth Ward. We'll let them do whatever. We're going to bring in some new people. Like they just took advantage. They capitalized on a natural disaster with. With Maui and Lahaina, it seemed more forced because they were actually blocking.
Just calculated.
Yeah. It seemed like there was more forced measure.
Well, and it seems like there's also censorship still going on around it, right? Shelby, you had a little dose of that last night.
Fucking A, I did. I was doing ladies' night for Unjected, which was a very fun time. And you guys, just on that note, Mondays is going to be men's night. Tuesdays is ladies' night. So kind of like we were doing with Dates to the States, come by, leave a bio, have some chats, some fun laughs. And I was like, the last 10 minutes, somebody had asked, what happened to all the missing people on Maui? And I popped off because I can't help myself. I went Alex Jones. And in my live stream, they cut off my live stream. And it said, we suspect suspicious behavior in your live stream. And so I was like, ooh, this never happened before. I've never, you know, they've changed our voices to sound like demon trannies. They slow down my voice sometimes. So I sound like I have,
they
like
give a you lisp. A lisp. They give you a lisp. Yeah.
They give me a lisp or like a tranny voice, but this was entirely new. They just shut it down. It was like, I was literally about to say, if you get away with it on Earth, you're not going to get away with it next time. You're not going to, you know, you're not going to escape your karma. And it was like, done. After I popped off about how I think that there's still hundreds to thousands of people dead, because they absolutely are. No one's looking for them. And anybody who knows the truth needs to talk about the truth, because if you don't, you're complicit in murder.
Absolutely.
And even if you were a victim and you lived through the fire and you thought you were doing the right thing by helping the military or the Coast Guard or whoever you were helping at that time with the cleanup process, if you're not talking about it now because you're scared of some pieces of paper that they put in front of you and the threats that they're giving you, well, I hope that you're okay with being a murderer. And I'm sorry if that sounds mean, But you are an accomplice. You're an accomplice. You've got to speak up. So whatever happened to these guys, just like we're talking about all these people who got suicided, if everybody just talked about it, if everybody just raised their hand and finally said, oh, well, this is what I did. They can't kill every single person.
Yeah.
They can't just murder everybody. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I know. It's I mean, that's like the eternal struggle of a truther. It's like, if we all just stand up together, and it's like all of us are standing up, we're all sticking our heads up. We're all, you know, making ourselves known. But it's like, and I know everybody out there listening, all of you watching, all of you listening, I know you guys are taking on like activist roles in your life. You know, you're at least sharing information and all this stuff, but it's like, you know, it is frustrating. It's frustrating. But it's like, you know, we're all doing all, you know, it's, I don't know what that equation looks like to get people over the hump where it's like we all just literally stay like V for Vendetta style or something. You know,
mass noncompliance.
Yeah, mass noncompliance. That's what it is. Yeah. Don't wait for it to get so shitty. You know, we're preaching to the choir. All you guys ain't compliant. We're shit. So it's fine. You know, you guys are the ones that are carrying the torch and actually helping us hold the line. So you know,
just implore for more truth and pray. Yep. And two, I just want to share this. Whether you're, you know, whether you believe in God or not, spiritual or whatever you believe in, power of prayer works. It works. It's proven. So even if you don't believe in, you know, higher power, you can still pray for things.
Even if you're a Muslim.
Exactly. And you should pray for truth to be revealed. And when you send prayers into people and say, and you soul speak to them, that energy goes directly into their body. It is a fucking fact. And there's no denying it. And if enough people are out there sending energy towards the awakening and towards the truth, then we're going to get there. It's going to help. It's going to help. Amen. The evil people know that they're losing. That's why they're throwing the whole book at us. They know that they're losing.
And by the way, each one of those things matters. The 9/11, the JFKs, the RFKs, the COVID vaccine, the shutdowns, the Maui, each one of them matters because what it does is it sets what this does. And you may care about some and not care about others, which is fine. I don't care. I don't really care about any of them. I find them interesting. I can't do anything about JFK now. Okay. Right. He was unfaithful. I have no, you know, I don't.
He was, you know, that guy Lem that lived in the White House with him. Look at that. His gay lover Lem that lived at the White House with him.
No, I know about
JFK's gay lover Lem. Look into that, dude.
What's that guy's name? Hilarious. Vince.
Yeah.
Vince. It'll come Vaughn. To us. No. I think it was the JF. No, it'll come to me. It doesn't matter if you care about all of them or you know about all of them. The point is there's a pattern of behavior.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter if you take it you take it in totality in its total frame from a bird's eye view. Yeah. What it's doing is it's establishing precedent. It's establishing a pattern of behavior. It's establishing a justifiable distrust toward a particular entity that has the ability to take your money away, has the ability to arrest you. Mm-hmm. It has the ability to subvert any political or otherwise goals that you may have. It can wreck you economically, financially. It can legally take your property away under eminent domain. This is an all control. We like to think that in America we have a very the government works for the people, which I don't think anybody actually believes that, but I think everybody thinks we're way far away from true tyranny. Mm-hmm. And tyranny is separated by degrees. Small degrees. And the fact of the matter is, at any given point, they can just ruin your life.
Oh, yeah.
And so the fact that they even have, and this is what I think people miss. They're like, oh, the government wouldn't do that. They wouldn't, they won't, and they wouldn't. It's like, okay, well, I disagree, but let's put that aside. How about the fact that they can, though.
Oh, yeah.
They have the ability to. Shouldn't that be enough for you to stand up and go, yeah, I don't like that.
I agree.
Maybe you're not going to do it now, or maybe you're unlikely to do it, but the fact that you have the ability to,
mm-hmm.
that makes me nervous.
Oh yeah, dude, that's their bread and butter, man. That's their bread and butter. I mean, we've seen it firsthand. Like, I never thought it would get to the way that it got. So that's why we need the Anti-Vaccination League more than ever before. Because I'll tell you what, man, like, they ain't done yet. And it's just shocking to me, just like diving into the history of the Anti-Vaccination League and learning about them.
I like how it's a league.
It's like we're a league of our own. I think it's like Marvel. It's like, it reminds me of, like, we're like super
Captain America, like Team America.
It's like
instead of the Little League World Series, we're gonna have the Anti-Vaccination League World Series.
There you go. Oh, it's the World Series. Yeah. No, this is the big event, the main event. But it's so crazy, and we're gonna get into it tonight. But it's like, you can see, like, they're using the same language that we're using, but what Shelby and I have been noticing is, like, their language is way harsher, way more direct and way more incendiary than what we are even doing. It's like, we need to bring back that harsh incendiary language, mm-hmm. like they are, dude. It's like, these guys were way more bold, way more organized, and just like, it's just like,
outrageous.
these people had it going on, and we're talking like 1860s, 1870s. It's mind-blowing, and they're talking about the same medical freedom. They're using the same language, human liberty.
Make an argument for how it may have been easier for them, because this is the 1850s. You could say whatever the fuck you want.
Totally. Well,
you couldn't say there's no God. Then they'll fucking
they'll put in the shackles
for that. But everything else. Exactly. In the 1850s, you had more freedom.
I know, but it's just so amazing going back and reading their literature. We've found all kinds of stuff. And so we'll get into it, guys. So what I want to do is, I wanted to show you guys, we've got quite a presentation for you guys this evening.
Wording and whether or not it's pee, because that would be a big thing for me. Did they ever address what exactly squirt is? Like, what is it? Is it urine? I don't know.
Vaccination league?
I don't know. I'm assuming there's a medical...
Oh, like what squirt is?
Are you talking about like sex?
Female ejaculation? Is that what you're talking about? Yeah. Isn't there some? Haven't they figured that out?
This is a medical topic.
That was out of that left wing. I mean, I would say Google it, but I don't think you should.
Yeah,
no, I'm saying I would like to know what the Anti-Vax League in the 1850s thought of it.
I think that was like blasphemy to talk about.
I'm sure they were all about it, dude. I bet those dudes crushed so hard. They could make any of those women squirt all day long, dude.
Well, they had way more testosterone.
Way more testosterone. Those women were squirting, dude. They were constantly pregnant. They were just squirting everywhere all day long, dude. Like they had it. It was different times. It was different times. It was different times.
Humid in the house.
Yeah, very, very humid. Yeah,
we're gonna make you a shirt that says something.
Squirt master.
Squirt.
Squirt master.
I just actually
squirt champion.
Squirt league.
Squirt league.
Actually, you could make a shirt for me that says, "I don't squirt, but I'd like to."
I'd like to. it's no fair. It's not fair that I can. Jesus. Okay. Anyway. All right. So what I want to do is, I want to show you guys, like, why the need for the Anti-Vaccination League is more important than ever. Right. And I think that this is a longer clip. I don't know if you watched the whole thing, but it just kind of sets the stage. And this is a debate that our good friend Dr. Peter McCullough.
We should watch it.
It's 5 minutes. It's 5 minutes of your time, and I think it's good. I watched about the first 30 seconds when I was queuing up the show, and I was like, "Nah, I got to watch the whole thing on the air." So,
holy shit, though! Look at his face.
Yeah,
he looks like he's fucking.
Yeah, he's like, "Bring it on, bitch!" Yeah.
Yeah.
Look at this show. It's called it's the Occupy Democrats Network with Brian Shapiro. So, got to give major props right out the gate to Dr. McCullough for going on the show. Because I got to actually give credit to this Brian Shapiro guy, because these motherfuckers will never debate us. I have tried. I've tried to get these people. I met some lady at a meetup. And when I used to live in Oregon, that used to work for the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, that was like worked for Pfizer, one of those organizations. And I was like, oh, You should debate Steve Kirsch if you think you know what the fuck you're talking about. He'll give you $1 million if you fucking debate him, and she wouldn't do it, dude. She was like, no.
You can even lose the debate, and he would still give you the money.
Just show up, and he could give you a fucking $1 million, and she's like, no.
I'm
like,
it shows you everything you need to know.
I know. So anyway, so the fact that all of these people stepped up to the plate, I got to give them props. Let's see what they have to say.
Well, hold on. I'm going to say, though, it's probably because he thought, I think he only did it, though, because he literally believes fully that he is the shit.
Yep. That he was going to own him, right?
Yeah.
All right, McCullough. Let's see it, baby.
Go, McCullough.
About vaccines with you. Would you agree with me that the vaccines for COVID have done far more good for people in this country than not good? There are so many people still that say COVID, the vaccines have killed millions of people, that all these professional athletes are dying of myocarditis when it's just not true. So would you agree with me that the vaccines have done far more good for people than bad?
Well, what evidence do you have for that?
What evidence do you have that that all these people are dying of the vaccines?
Well, let's just take let's take safety first, because we always discuss safety before efficacy. Would you agree with that?
Sure.
Yeah, right. So it doesn't matter how good a product is, it has to be safe. Would you agree with that?
I don't think there's any vaccination that's 100% foolproof safe. You know that.
Okay, but it would have to have acceptable safety. Would you agree with that?
It depends what your definition of acceptable safety is. We were in a global pandemic where at one point we were losing 5,000 Americans per day. So obviously these were extenuating circumstances, but go ahead.
But what would be your definition of acceptable safety?
While I'm not a doctor and you are, I would say, in my personal opinion, looking back on half the world being vaccinated, in fact, more than half the world, as you know, at this point, there is no direct evidence that these vaccinations are, people are dropping dead left and right. And as you know, specifically on right-wing media and right-wing talk shows, they claim that all these professional athletes are dying of myocarditis because of the vaccines, when they don't even know if these people were vaccinated. They don't know their medical history. And it's frustrating for me, doctor, because I believe the vaccine saved my life. I believe it saved my parents' life. And in so many studies out there, you know, listen, you could, and as you know this, you can get COVID if you're vaccinated. It didn't give you a lesser chance of getting infected or giving it to somebody else. However, you are in so many studies that I've seen, and you can tell me if you disagree, far less likely to get the effects of having to go into the ICU or possibly dying if you were vaccinated. Am I wrong?
Yeah, you're wrong. And here's the reason why. The prospective randomized double-blind placebo-controlled clinical trials of the vaccines never showed a reduction in severity. They never showed a reduction in hospitalization and death. And what's come out over time is the virus has mutated to become a much milder virus. So as the vaccines were rolling out, you know, we were being confronted with a less mild virus. The other thing, I mean, a less severe virus, more mild. The other thing that happened is we learned how to treat the illness. So we treated patients early and we avoided hospitalization and death. So the two major things that save people's lives were having natural immunity from the first round of infection and then early treatment. What happened with the vaccines, remember, the vaccines came in late, you know, so we're already a year in the pandemic. We've been treating people for a year. The vaccines come in late. And in a recent paper by Norman Fenton from the UK, he's shown that there was tremendous misclassification bias. So when they declared that there was a epidemic of the unvaccinated, in fact, the hospitals weren't, you know, they had no idea who was vaccinated or not. They didn't have connection to the CDC vaccine records. They weren't going in the ICU and figuring out people on the ventilator who were vaccinated and who weren't. In countries that actually did have the vaccine status, like the UK, they found far more vaccinated in the hospital on ventilators and dying than the unvaccinated. And in a paper by Shretha and colleagues from the Cleveland Clinic, the lowest risk workers that they have in 51,000 workers are the unvaccinated. And with every single injection, one is more and more likely to get COVID-19. Now, the deaths that have been reported after the vaccine are unprecedented. Our safety system for vaccines records on average, half the country takes vaccines in the United States before COVID, records on average 150 deaths in a year on average. The COVID-19 vaccines roll out And as we sit here today, our CDC has verified 18,655 Americans dying after the vaccine. 1,150 die on the same day they take the shot. Some die in the vaccine center. 1,200 die the next day. Now, that's underreported by a factor in FDA testimony of about 30. We're looking, as we sit here today, at 550,000 plus Americans have died after the vaccine.
So
the same pattern is seen worldwide. There are calls to pull these vaccines off the market. They're so grossly unsafe because people die quickly after taking them.
Okay, there you go.
Do you see his little twerp face, Brian's? Like, he's like, I don't know what I'm going to say, but I don't agree.
His eyes, nose, and mouth are too close for his face.
Dr. McCullough's eyebrow game, though, he's like,
he's like,
no, you're wrong. That was my favorite. Can we just clip that section of Dr. McCullough and add that to everything? No,
you're wrong. We just need a soundboard. It'll be like, yep, you're wrong.
We got to use that on everything.
That's great. Yeah, no, it's great. And I love how he's like, oh, and this paper, here's our peer-reviewed study right by these guys and all this and that. It's like, bitch, where are your peer-reviewed studies, Brian?
This is the last stand that pro-vaccination people have is that it minimized hospitalizations. Because at first, remember, it was you get the vaccine, you don't get it. Then it was like, all right, well, you can get it, but you can't spread it to other people. And then they went, well, yeah, all right, you can get it. You spread it to other people. You're not going to be sick, though. You're not going to be hospitalized.
Yeah.
And so this is their last stand.
Yeah.
Right. And so 100%, dude. It is interesting to see people cling on to it. I don't understand particularly the left's urge to hang on to this.
Yeah.
Because one, they already have and out with this. They could just say, well, Trump did it. It was Operation Warp Speed. Him.
Yep.
That's all they really have to do if they want to get themselves out of the situation. They have an out. So I'm not entirely.
Do you really think that's true, though? That they have an out?
I think from a political perspective, probably.
Yeah, they blame it on Trump, dude.
Yeah, I think probably from a, obviously not in in the framework of the way we converse about it and the way we think about it, and not even just us. I'm sure there were other people who got vaccinated who probably at least are willing to think in the same way that we think about how to approach formulating a perspective on it. But from a political perspective, yeah, they have their out. They go, well, you know what? Yep. All they would have to do is like, well, you know what? You guys were right. And you know what?
Yep.
I'm pissed at Trump because he was the one who fucking shoved it. He shoehorned it down our fucking ass.
He's the godfather of the vaccines in his own words. Operation Warp Speed.
Right.
I bet you.
I mean, there's a very good chance. I've been saying this forever. That's their rabbit in the hat. That's how they get out of all this. That's how they solve all their problems.
They
admit it and they put Trump up on trial for mass murder and execute him, dude.
What about Biden, who made it mandatory for everybody?
Yeah, exactly.
That's the thing. Once they admit fault, then they're going to be in trouble.
No, I don't think so.
It's humanity. It's a crime
I don't
against
think so,
because, this is Nuremberg too.
Yeah, Nuremberg too, baby.
I don't think Biden is there. Nobody thinks their Biden is their long-term plan. So if they go, Trump did it, he was the perpetrator of it, and Biden was a continuation of it. But Biden's no longer our main guy. Everybody, even on the left, people go, well, Biden's clearly not the long-term plan here.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think what they could do very easily is pin it, the main blame on Trump. Say, you know, Biden continued it. He didn't start it, but he continued it. And I think they would be scot-free. So from a political perspective anyway, like strictly political. So the question becomes, why have they hinged themselves to this last stand of, well, you didn't get as sick. Like what is, I wonder what it is. And at this point, I don't think it has anything to do with a political strategy or any type of political blueprint, I think it's probably just ego.
Yeah.
I think it's probably just,
yep.
I can't allow you to know that I was wrong when I said you had to get the vet. Like, I think it's just that.
Well,
because they were so bold. It was such a bold position to take that backpedaling from it on an individual level is hard, probably.
Yeah, definitely. Well, let's watch a little bit more of that ego. Shelby, did you have any last thoughts there? You were going
to
say something?
No, but I agree. You know, they have to break down their preconceived notions because they worship the vaccine like it was a false idol.
Yep.
And now they're like, it was a religion. It was a cult. The vaccine junkies were in a cult. It's a cult following.
Yep.
just like they put on their white Nikes. They just don't want to admit it.
Yep. So let's see a little bit more of that ego, and then we'll dive into the solution here. So this is our friend. Now, Shelby was saying that she was hearing from that this was 2021 when this was filmed and captured, but still.
But I've seen this, and I know it's not great, but God damn it, he looks good.
Yeah, well, he's
probably
dead
not anymore. He's probably super gray.
Yeah, he's super gray and old. He probably aged like 20 years in the last.
I don't know. He's a handsome man. I very much disagree with what he's going to say on this video. He's the most insane fucking. Truly, this is one of the most insane, unhinged political opinions I've ever heard in my entire life, and that's true.
Yep.
But I mean, God damn it, dude! The jawline looks good. I mean, come on,
come away. All right, let's hear from Mr. Clooney himself.
I support mandatory vaccines here. I think every company should do it. I don't care. To me, it's really simple. We can look out for one another and take care of one another, or we can not. It's that simple. You know, and all the people who want to talk about their independence and their freedom, you're free to drink until you fall down the stairs, but you're not free to drive. The minute your freedom infringes on everyone else's, so I believe very much that as we did with polio, as we do with measles and mumps and everything else on the kidney space, it will get better. It will get better.
Just to continue on what you were just saying about vaccines, do you feel any backlash from the anti-vaxxers, and does that ever bother you in any circumstances?
No, because the truth of the matter is, I was listening to a podcast the other day about the polio vaccine, which they screwed up when they first put out, which I didn't remember. I didn't know. I was too young. One factory actually ended up giving a bunch of kids polio and killing them because they weren't filtering out the formaldehyde. We haven't had any of those problems with the vaccine. It's been a pretty successful rollout. And there were lots of skeptics then, and it took a few years, a couple, 3 years to get their act together. That's what's going to happen. You know, we'll get our act together, and we'll get it done. We have to, because that's how we get out of this.
Oh boy.
That aged well.
There you go. Yeah, that did not age well. Yeah, exactly. So, speaking of criticism from anti-vaxxers, So you guys, all right. So we kind of talked about it earlier. I'm going to have to blaze through this real quick, unless you're okay with going a little longer tonight.
Roll, Shelby.
Okay. Cool. All right, guys. So let's hit this up here. So as we were talking about in the very beginning, we discovered last week the Anti-Vaccination League, right? And so, so we've been diving in. I just wanted to show you guys, like, we're going to get into a little bit of the history, some of the key players, some of the characters, but I do want to shout out here. So we started, I think it would have been last Friday, 6 days ago. So yeah, like last Friday, we started the Anti-Vaccination League. There's the logo, established 1866 and reestablished in 2024, right? So there's a brief history there. So if you guys head over, it's on all the socials are Anti-Vax League, okay? That's on Instagram and Twitter. We just started a Twitter yesterday, I think, because I was having trouble creating one. But anyway, if you go there, you can kind of see found a bunch of stuff in their archives and just a bunch of stuff from that era. You know, one of the things that really strikes me that's fascinating is that these fuckers knew how to meme back in the day, dude. These guys were making memes way back in the day. Like, look at this. So it's like very,
I just realized she's breastfeeding.
Oh yeah. She's breastfeeding. Well,
her boobs hanging out.
Yeah. Boobs hanging out. Vaccination Act for Jennifer. So it's like this police officer showing up. Oh God. So, crazy. Okay, look at these legends.
Yes.
So this is Toronto, Ontario. This is November 13th, 1919. So these are Stop the Slaughter of the Innocents, protest against compulsory and vaccinations. Whoa.
Look at that sign in the background. Stop the Slaughter
of the
Innocents.
Yeah. Protest against compulsory and
against, Jeez. So,
see, powerful.
Look at all those badasses.
Yeah. Well, this is the one that stands out to me the most. This guy, this one right here. So there's so many, like, I was talking to a friend.
What are women?
I'd see, that's exactly what I was just going to say. What you notice here is it's mostly women. There's like a row of men in the background, but it's like the mama bears that were showing up again back in the day, dude. Isn't that crazy? Yeah, it's they knew back then, the mama bears. Look at all those.
Is the anti-vaccination league the way that you take down the patriarchy? Is this the way?
It could be.
It's definitely an option.
Reestablish a matriarchy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm fine with the matriarchy as long as I get to be breastfed.
There you go.
Look at everybody's nice smiles, the children in the front, healthy, unjected children.
Ugh. Yeah. Yeah. These folks were fighting like legit tyranny back then with like actual consequences, as we'll see here in a little bit. But
and too, I just want to say, sorry to interrupt you.
Yeah, you're good.
Like, think about how cool it was that they were doing this in a time where Western medicine was not developed enough to, like, there wasn't antibiotics or like really good plumbing systems or water sanitation or sewage. So disease was more of a problem then, and they could have been in fear and succumbed to that fear. But instead, they were even back then, they believed in the power of the human body and natural God-given body.
And we will get to that, Shelby, to that exact point. We will get right there. And I'm excited to show you this because I haven't shown you this piece of it yet. But the idea, I got some shorter right there. I didn't realize. Okay, I forgot I was screen sharing. But anyway, we'll get to it in a minute. I just wrote on this. I wrote, it's so inspiring to see that this fight has been going on for longer than any of us have even realized. So much respect. It's been a very powerful experience researching and learning about our predecessors. I feel a deep and soulful connection to these people. And so stay tuned, you guys. So we got lots of fun stuff coming up for the anti-vaccination league. This is the other one I wanted to show you. So this is, we're speaking of like their ability to meme. If you look closely at this cartoon, this drawing, you have a bunch of devil horned men and they're pouring a bucket of babies into the mouth of a cow, like covered in pustules and boils. And, cause vaccine comes from the word vodka, which comes from, it was like the Latin word for cow, right? So you have babies being poured into the mouth of like this evil looking diseased cow. And then it's excreting all of these dead babies out while a guy shovels them into a carriage. And so this is their,
this is exactly what is still happening.
I know. And so it's like these guys.
Obelisk in the background.
I don't know. I can't read it. I can't zoom in. I've tried to zoom in. I've tried to read. I can't even read what these words are written on them. Like, I've tried to look them up. None of these words are written down. I can find.
Do we know where these were being published? Was this their own?
I don't know where this was from. If anybody has any, and that's the thing, as we put this information out, if anybody knows anything about any of this stuff, please get in contact with us. Yeah. Anti-Vax League just send us a message on Instagram or Twitter and, anybody has any information, but it's just like, they knew how to meme, dude. Look at this. It's like and this stuff is becoming harder and harder to find, as also we'll see. Now, so if you notice right here, this is something from 1902, and we've kind of adopted this, an association of half mad, misguided people who write and toil and dream of a time to come when it shall be lawful to retain intact the pure body Mother Nature gave. Sends greetings to a suspect. We determine that means it sends greetings to you. So it's like such a run-on sentence as they tend to do back then. It's basically saying an associated of half-guided, misguided, half-mad, misguided people send greetings to you. And then this line right here, okay, it says in quotes, you guys, it says in quotes, liberty cannot be given, it must be taken. Now,
Mike,
this is the first time I've ever seen that quote written before. I tried to do a search and there's nowhere where it's attributed to anybody. I'm thinking that this was original to the Anti-Vaccination Society of America here. I think they came up with that on this little tiny blurb. But that is like one of the most powerful. That's like, give me liberty or give me death. It's like at that level.
Don't
liberty
tread
cannot
on
be.
Me.
Yeah. Don't tread on me. Liberty cannot be given, it must be taken.
Live free or die.
It's like right up there with all of those. And so it's just a little aside, a little sentence at the end of this little newspaper ad and from 1902. But that is like something that we're like, that's the slogan right there.
That's it, man.
That's the slogan. And so like, it's like, liberty cannot be given, it must be taken. And so, you know, whatever that means, you know, we're activists and we're trying to do this thing the right way. But you know what I'm saying?
Like, we're going to take back our liberties.
Yeah, exactly. You're just not going to happen. So we're talking about how it was started in 1866. So there was a predecessor to the National Anti-Vaccination League. And so we were talking about, should we call it the National Anti-Vaccination League? And it's like, no, it's worldwide. It's a worldwide thing. Mm-hmm. So it's just the Anti-Vaccination League. So, you know, it's the new iteration of this organization throughout several versions throughout the years, right? So it started off as the Anti-Compulsory Vaccination League, which was founded by these three brothers, Richard Gibbs, George Gibbs, and John Gibbs. And so this John Gibbs guy wrote a bunch of pamphlets and stuff, and they had up to 103 branches claiming 10,000 members in 1871. So that's pretty damn cool.
That is so cool.
Yeah. And so as it kind of goes on here, so then it kind of evolved. There's a bunch of other history and stuff. You know, I don't really just want to read off a Wikipedia page here with you guys, but we'll just get some of the highlights. So as it kind of grew and influence spread, it kind of grew over.
George Bernard Shaw wrote a fucking supportive letter. Holy shit.
Yeah. So we know George Bernard Shaw is a very dubious character, and he was a eugenicist, and we know all of that very much. Yeah. But you know, dude, it was funny when I was researching this. Okay. So I was trying to like, here, let's just do this. I'll show you. It's hilarious. So I was doing my little search trick where I go site:cia.gov. And so you're just seeing like, You can search like on the CIA website, and I wrote anti-vaccination to see like what the CIA has in their archives for anti-vaccination. And there's only one record that pops up. Aha, Adolf Hitler medical assessment. There you go. So, studies in pathology, Adolf Hitler by Morris Leakand. So it goes right here, and you type in vaccination, and it goes right here. So it says they're talking about this Nazi guy, Morel or whatever, and it says, Hitler, in fact, liked quacks. He liked magic, astrology, and somnambulism. Among the tenets of the Nazi party line may be found anti-vivisectionism. I don't know what that is. Anti-vaccination idea. So
vivisection is the experimentation of live animal.
Okay, so anti. Oh yeah, because he was Hitler was a very much an animal rights guy. And vegetarianism. So Hitler was kind of an.
He wasn't a vegetarian astrologist
who didn't believe in vaccines.
Basically PETA, the whole animal rights movement was from Hitler. Like that was like how that all started. Yeah. He was a very much an animal lover, vegetarian, anti-vaxxer. So there you go, folks.
If you remember one thing and one thing only about Hitler, it's that he liked animals.
He liked animals. Yes. And he, yeah. So anyway, so I thought that was an interesting little aside. So yeah, there's some dubious characters that kind of get peripherally attached to the anti-vaccination movement, but that's okay.
I will give George Bernard Shaw some credit. A brilliant writer.
Sure. There you go. And he was just going with the times, right? Not to excuse him. I mean, Hitler was just, they were all just going with the times, I guess.
He equated the methods of vaccination with rubbing the contents of a dustpan into the wound.
Yeah, he's a crack. He's a crackpot.
I would say that's exactly the same.
Yep. So I really want to, we can spend hours, and you know, I guarantee as in the weeks and months and years to come, like we really want to honor our predecessors and kind of just, I'm personally doing research into some of these folks. And we're going to kind of just, you know, we're going to create a repository where their names can live on like censorship free. Cause we're seeing, you know, this information is becoming almost impossible to find. And the information that is available is very small and select. And I've got evidence now to suggest that they're working hard to scrub everything as we speak. Yeah. Right. But I do want to take a moment and talk about this gal named Lily Lote. Well, here, let's just first talk about this guy. So this is a guy that founded it, Richard Butler Gibbs, 1822, 1871, Irish homeopath, vegetarian, food reformer, just, you know, cool guy, founded the Anti-Vaccination League in 1866.
Love him.
Author of a bunch of journals. So long live Richard Butler Gibbs. His wife ran the Mother's Anti-Vaccination League. Shelby, there's
Maybe
another one.
I'm reincarnated.
Dude, it's a whole nother league. It's a whole nother, the fucking.
The Mother's?
The Mother's Anti-Vaccination League. Oh my God. Okay, so.
I'm going to fall out of my chair.
Yeah, we have so much to research. So, but you guys, I'm going to attach all of these links in the show notes. You can follow up and read all these if you want. But, okay, so I did want to just jump ahead a little bit here, because I wanted to show you guys Lily Lote. So it talked about how, in 1898, the league took on a schooler leaver named Lily Lote. By 1909, she was selected as the league's secretary. She devoted her life to the cause and died still working for the league in 1958. So for literally for 50 years, Lily Lote spent toiling and just writing and just leading this movement for 50 years, you know what I mean? And then it really, the only ending that I can come across for how it ended was the league's journal. So between 1958 and 1972, I don't have much information, which we'll try and gather. But then the league's journal ceased to create new issues, so they stopped publishing in 1972. So from all accounts, all of these organizations kind of just faded off into the sunset and stopped as of 1972. It was the last evidence of like them being activated.
That's
so
almost a 100-year run, though. That was
yeah. So we're bringing it back, and it's been reborn. A few things I just wanted to show real quick before we show you what we got going on. All right, so there's this. So this thing that we were showing you a minute ago, the liberty cannot be given, it must be taken. This was taken from the Historical Medical Library, the College of Physicians of Philadelphia. And this is a historyofvaccines.org. Probably they're arguing the other side of it, obviously.
Uh-huh. Getting vaccinated at the top. So we can assume.
Oh, yeah. Getting vaccinated at the top. Yeah. So they talk about how the College of Physicians of Philadelphia has some fantastic historical artifacts. In the scrapbook of anti-vaccination clippings, you can find the following card from the Anti-Vaccination Society of America, right? So I'm like, ooh, that's interesting. There's a link. Let's go to the Historical Medical Library here. Okay. Ooh, interesting.
Look at that picture. Wait.
Who knows?
With a skeleton?
Yeah. Some dark shit. This is like some... that? I don't know. They're doing some crazy shit.
That looks satanic.
Some vivisectomy right there, dude. Tell you what. So you go here. You go to the medical catalog search, right? And so this was type in anti-vaccination. Let's see if we can find that anti-vaccination scrapbook that they were talking about. Yeah. All right, cool. Oh, look at that. It's the anti-vaccination scrapbook. But what does it say? What does it say? It says this item is temporarily closed for research while it undergoes conservation and digitization. So they're like, you're not allowed to look at this right now.
And there's only one available.
Yeah. While we conserve it, we're in the process of conserving it.
Spring of 2025 is when they're going to.
Yep. It says conservation is being supported in part by a federal Save America's Treasures grant. I'm sure it's burn and censor America's treasures.
I'd like to know when they first restricted access to.
I know exactly. So, but it looks like they have all kinds of other stuff. So I'm gonna have to make a trip out to Philadelphia because they've got a whole bunch of like archives.
Philadelphia,
stuff.
Tell me, I'm not that far away,
dude. Let's go fucking raid this Philadelphia library.
Fill her up, Delphia.
Yeah, but here's this other one: the scrapbook of anti-vaccination clippings. So they have like, so there's the anti-vaccination scrapbook and a scrapbook of anti. So there's have two volumes of basically what looks like the same thing. Both of them.
The Pennsylvania membership book.
Closed for membership. Yeah, so they have a membership book. They've got a the Journal of Hydrotherapy and Anti-Vaccination. So these are all in person books. So we'd have to actually go there and like check these out in person and check them out. So, you know, looks like they. If anybody's in Philadelphia, if anybody's in the area, I mean, shit. Zach, you want to pop down there and do some research?
I do want to go to Philly. I've never been to Philly.
Yeah, go check out some of this shit. Go check out
like three hours away, maybe.
That's not bad. So anyway, I thought that was fascinating. Wow. What else do I have for you guys here? So again, this is going to be in the show notes, but this is just a whale.to link on archive.org. And what I just found is that like this, it kind of looks like a Wikipedia page, but I just found like each one of these links as you click down are all take you to just like fascinating stuff. So Look for the so whale.to. Yeah, I just you see the little purple ones are the ones look I clicked on. And I saved them here. And it's like, so this one right here. Look at this damn book. This book was written. I don't know when this book was written, but it's called, the book is called 150 Reasons for Disobeying the Vaccination Law by Persons Prosecuted by It.
1878? Is that
when? Oh, yeah, 1878. There you go. Wow. 1878, you guys. And I cannot find a digital copy of this anywhere. I'm sure a physical copy is impossible to find. But anyway, so I would love to like make a big effort to like archive and make sure that this stuff is preserved. So
look at this, guys. Look at the one through seven list.
Yeah, one through seven. Shelby, read some of these here.
Oh my gosh.
These are seven of the 150 reasons why you need to disobey vaccination law.
Tyrannical, unconstitutional, and in the true sense, illegal. Godless and insane. That's my favorite.
Yeah. Godless and insane.
Okay, how do you say that?
Idolatrous
for being axed for the continual offering up of human sacrifices. Mm-hmm. That is insane. Demoralizing to the whole community, those only accepted whom they stamp as criminals. Mm-hmm. Offensive as reviving the class legislation so justly odious to all lovers of freedom. Fraudulent as evading and violating another existing act of parliament on the direct and indirect testimony of their own supporter and activists. An utter and absolute failure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nothing has changed since 1978.
Nothing's changed.
1878.
Yeah, so we need to, we should make t-shirts that say vaccines, acts for the continual offering up of human sacrifices. Like, this is the language.
We're just going to put that list on a t-shirt right there. Yes. Godless and insane.
Yes. So this is the language we need to be adopting. Like, we're not messing around anymore.
We're not here to be fluffy about this anymore. Okay.
Exactly. So again, I'm just clicking links off of this whale.to post. And so this is just some links, some quotes from a guy named JT Biggs, who was a contemporary of our friend Lily Lote. And also, like Lily Lote, I can't find a picture of her anywhere. I can't find a photograph, any sort of image of her. Like, I want to see who she is because, you know, she's a mystery right now. So if anybody knows or has any photos of Lily Lote or knows family or anything like that,
I know.
So anyway, so this is just some quotes from one of her contemporaries, JT Biggs. Oh, this is the Anti-Vaccination League. It says England and Wales, 1880, 25,000 babies are yearly sacrificed by diseases excited by vaccination. 6,000 infants are killed every year by vaccination by 1921. So according to the Anti-Vaccination League. So
why did it go down so much? What are they just?
Well, so what they're saying is that 25,000 babies are the whatever they're doing. Like the process of the vaccination is increasing their, like what McCullough was saying, it's like, you know, the people that are getting the shots are the ones that are getting sick, right? So it's the shots that are exciting the disease, apparently, right?
Wow.
And then, but 6,000 infants are killed directly by the shot. Probably those statistics that he was mentioning where they're dying in the first 24 hours. You know what I mean?
24, 48 hours. It's called SIDS now. They call it SIDS.
Yeah, sudden infant death syndrome. Yeah, it's like, oh yeah, he just suddenly died. He's fine. But we got some quotes from Biggs. Our improved sanitation and rejection of vaccination are saving nearly 1,400 lives annually from the zoonotic smallpox. Blah, 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 blah. Anyway, so we got quotes. Let's see, what do we got here? Oh yeah, so this is what I was going to show you, Shelby. So this is really cool. So this is you'll be able to find it in that archive.org. link somewhere in there. It should be in there.
Wow.
I'll make sure it's still there. Maybe I closed it by accident, but I'll pull it back up. But anyway, so this is, damn it, where'd it go?
Wait, all right, go back to one of those tabs. It said other tab, all things old become new again.
Oh, yeah, that's the history of that's the history of vaccines. But that's interesting that he says that.
And that was in 2019.
2019, yeah, right before all the nonsense, yeah.
Whoa, but, I love that. Old things become new again.
Yep. So anyway, this is a book. This is a, you know, it's typed out here, but this is The Truth About Vaccination and Immunization by Lily Loat. This is her book that she wrote. And the very first line of part one, like we were saying, Shelby, this is before we knew, you know, they had the sanitation and they had all that stuff. And so she says, all capital, all letters, all acute diseases, disease is a healing effort of nature, an attempt to rid the system of its inherited and acquired impurities, which is like,
just talk about terrain theory? She was just dropping terrain theory right
there. Straight up, she's like Bichamp terrain theory, like bam. Like she's like right up, you know. The nature cure practitioner regards cold fever, skin eruptions, and inflammatory processes as nature's attempt to eliminate disease conditions from the system. So all you terrain people out there, which I'm one of them, you know what I mean? Bam, dude. And Lily Loat is dropping the hammer. Yes. And so there'll be a link to this, all of her writings, you know, so look at all this shit. It's just like,
wow. She was like doing the inserts before they existed.
Yeah, exactly. Or this is like her version of a freaking podcast, dude, right here.
Right.
Just dropping bombs.
Wow.
Yeah. Vaccination kills infants. Failure to vaccinate. Vaccination to protect. Okay, the vaccinated die of smallpox. Vaccinated children take smallpox and die of it. These are just some of the chapter titles. Jenner's horse grease. What's that? Jenner insisted that the true protective variety was derived only from a disease known as the grease. The matter being transferred from the horse to the teats of the cow by men milkers after they had been attending to the diseased horses. I don't know. I don't know what she's talking about. But I'll have to read more to learn about Jenner's diseased teats. So. Another cool thing that we found was some archives of the Anti-Compulsory Vaccination League, some of their publications, some of their
newsletters.
Yeah. So this is December 1st, 1880.
Look at this.
Is it a good location? Where, I mean, yeah. I know it was.
This was
Midland.
Midland, wherever that is. Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to do some more research and figure it out. Let's see. Object of the society. Let me see. What does this say? To protect its members from the tyranny and cruelty of the Compulsory Vaccination Act and to aid in the repeal of vaccination laws. The society seeks to accomplish these objects by holding the public meetings and the circulation of such tracts, pamphlets, and as the society may see from time to time think necessary. The annual payment of one and upward shall constitute membership in the society, with the right to attend and vote in its annual and general meetings. There you go. Talks about just membership, subscriptions.
Look at that one. It says if a member they go to prison, in the event of any member preferring to go to prison, the amount in which he would be entitled shall be placed at the disposal of his family.
Oh, so it's basically they're saying
we'll help your family.
Vaccinate. Yep. Members subscribing for $5 per year paid in advance or 1.6 per quarter shall be entitled to any sum not exceeding $10, which may be imposed upon them as fines and expenses for each and every unvaccinated child during the year.
So they were helping the unvaxxed fines?
So they were bailing people out of, because there were people that were legit getting fines and imprisoned, which I'll show you in a minute here. They were actually imprisoning people.
We'll be right back. I have to release urine from my penis.
No, go for it, dude. Yeah. So that's cool. So that's something.
That stove is amazing.
Yeah, dude. Oh, see, they're advertising.
Look at all of this is amazing.
Genius. That's how they made money. They're advertising. They had memberships. Like, this is cool.
The Excelsior oven.
Yeah, dude. That's legit. Interesting. So I'm gonna read all of this, dude. Can you imagine? This is 1879 right here. Okay, so this is another edition. Look, Shelby, this is like hundreds of pages.
Oh.
So this must be like years and years worth of these. Like, that's wild, dude. Look at this.
You see that one? It just said cancer caused by vaccines.
Wait. I could probably do a word. Cancer. Dude, there's a lot of mentions of cancer. Syphilis, cancer. 11,000 cases of cancer, which annually occurred here. Wow.
Wow, isn't it amazing how literally, like, we're in kind of like this vortex circle. Like, nothing has changed, and people are still getting so much cancer and illness from these vaccines. They've been preaching this for 200 years. This is
pretty going on 200 fucking years, dude. Wow. Cancer caused by vaccination.
Holy fuck.
This is 1880, you guys.
They were...
It says, sir,
couldn't be more proud right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
With cancer alarmingly on the increase. Yep. Syphilis, oh, terrible, on the increase. Oh my gosh.
which are inoculable, that is, which are capable of being engrafted on the human body by vaccination. With all these terrible diseases increasing yearly together with a larger increase of madness above and beyond all increase of population, is there not a cause? So he's basically saying that the vaccine grafts these diseases, cancer and syphilis, onto the body, is what he's saying. He's saying
it's, and it's, madness.
Yeah. And mad, a large increase in madness.
That just happened today. Everybody got vaccinated and they are mad. They've lost their minds.
Incredible.
Look, animal vaccination. They're calling out the animal shots, which is also a scam.
Yep.
Vaccination in the doctors.
Yeah. And this is just some random page. This is page 89 of several hundred of this one. And I have seven of these, Shelby. Look, I've got seven of these fucking things.
I can't wait to read them.
I know. Well, this is the one that really stood out right here.
Print it and highlight the important parts.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
Like physical copies of it.
Yep. This is another. We're going to print them out and we're going to archive them on our website, which we'll show you in just a minute, guys.
So they can never be deleted.
Yeah. Yep. So vaccination mortality. This is just, some random page I flipped to. And this is, I don't know what year this was, but it's around the same time. And it says, from the Hamburg Schweizer correspondent of September the 11th, 1878. Okay, there you go. We learned that a little town of Lick in East Prussia had a lamentable misfortune, or a lamentable misfortune has occurred. 50 children vaccinated there with the same lymph fell ill, and 15 of them, or 30%, died. The death rate from smallpox before doctors began to modify it by vaccination or inoculation was, according to Jurin, about 16%, according to their authorities, much lower. Wow. So they started, doubled. They were able to double the amount of death because of the vaccination. Now, this is what's really cool. Yeah. And so now what we're seeing here, look at this, guys, vaccination prosecutions. This is in the 1878 edition of the.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, so these guys, if you look here, so Mr. G. Warman on Southampton Street for two children was fined $4. We regret to say children have been... Oh, look at this. We regret to say that children have been vaccinated. Look at this.
So we regret to say...
It says, Mr. J. Blabber, Summer Road, Peckham, with order to vaccinate an older child. Mr. Blabber wished to show the magistrate, the child of a friend of his, how suffering from the effects of the vaccination, but the magistrate declined because the child was not his own. So he was showing evidence that, hey, there's another kid that got injured. I don't want this to happen to my kid. And they said, I don't care. Okay, so look at these.
Here's a defendant said the child had not been in a fit state to be vaccinated and further be objected to being vaccinated.
Yeah, he objected to it being vaccinated.
Oh. He could prove the death of children from vaccination, one of his own pariah.
One in his own parish. Yeah.
Parish.
Yeah. Yeah.
The chairman explained to the defendant that the law was passed.
I'll just zoom in there.
That's way better. I lost it.
That the law was passed for the good of the public.
God, they didn't discover double space.
Yeah, until like 1920s, maybe.
Jesus fuck.
Yeah.
This. He believed it to be the duty of parents to protect their children.
Yeah. And he was fined $20. Look, Mr. W. French on South Bar Street, he got hit with a $20 fine in 1878 because he said it is the duty of the parent to protect their children from the vaccines. And so we were asking, like, wow, I wonder how much $20 is in 1878. So we looked it up.
Wait, go back. The other one said ditto.
It just said ditto? Ditto. Yes. Mr. Nehemiah Dunn, hero.
He's like what he said.
Nehemiah, whatever. But anyway, so $20 in 1878 is equivalent to about $624 today. So they were
hit with that. That's a heavy fine. Yeah,
that's a heavy fine. So it's just so crazy. Okay. Look, this guy was fined $3. He said he had heard of so many deaths through vaccination that he wished to protect his child as long as he could. Look at this. So they're like coming door to door and saying, you inject your kid. Oh, look at this.
You know what's very, 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 very interesting about this?
What's that?
The idea of censorship.
Yeah.
We don't.
It's already beginning.
We think of it as sort of a common phenomena. Yes. It's not. It's clear that going back all the way to now, or to whatever this is, 18 fuck all.
Yeah.
No more where ignorance is bliss.
You are punished for speaking your opinion.
Yeah.
Which begs the question, I mean, 18 whatever, 100 years after they established the First Amendment.
Yeah.
And it was already, they were wiping their ass with it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were already, yeah, absolutely just saying.
So it's not a new, so to take solace, everybody who has been censored, it's not new. At least you can take solace in the fact that this is not a brand new, we're not on a revolutionary front here. We have, this is a clear, again, going back to an established pattern of behavior.
Yeah. Shelby, what were you saying? Where do we go?
Oh man, I don't know. I lost it.
Okay, I thought you were saying something. But yeah, Zach, you're 100%
being clean and unclean.
Oh God, yeah. So, but Zach, dude, you're so right. I mean, this is like,
yeah.
I mean, it's like that's the thing that stands out the most about this is because like even the language they use is exactly the same as what
this
we're
is,
saying now.
Yeah,
dude.
here's
so
this is
mind blowing.
This is actually, you know, I mean, obviously, I think we all acquiesce to the same probably same perspective on at least the COVID vaccine, if not most vaccines. The really, really huge issue here, particularly in this paper, is the censorship or the blowback for speaking your opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would rather live in a world where people can speak their minds and then they yell at me for being not getting the vaccine and they have the right and they tell me I'm a horrible person and that I should find a way to kill myself. I don't know. Like, I would rather live in a world where people are doing that than me going, you know, I'm not comfortable taking the COVID vaccine and then I'm punished for it. I would rather have people say mean things to me on the street, online, on whatever, and say, you're an idiot. I hope you die. Yeah. I'm going to fucking, you know, you didn't get the vaccine. You're a horrible person. You're immoral. You're unethical. You're a piece of garbage human being. I don't like the way that your skin gets red and blotchy, whatever. I would rather have that. And they should have the right to say that. And
totally.
Like, that's better than me going, you know, this seems weird that they're forcing this and it's odd that they don't really have elongated data like they usually do for vaccines or medicine in general. And then they go, nope, fine. Nope.
Exactly.
Can't go here. Nope. Yep. You got to stay in your house. Nope. Yep. No, I would rather bear the words of those who disagree with me than, face punishment for expressing opinion.
100%, dude. So yeah, I mean, we're teetering on the borderline of both. I mean, we've kind of seen it. There's other countries where they lock you up, and you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, you guys. So the moral of the story and the grand finale, and then the very, very, very happy ending and a very happy new beginning, is we just got this all launched last night. So if you guys go to,
hold on, are we 100% sure? I mean, not 100, but are we close to sure that? Saying liberty cannot be given, it must be taken, is not from anywhere else, because if it isn't, that is,
it's ours now.
Oh my God. I mean, that is a fucking,
we're trademarking it.
Yeah. I'm not even joking, dude. Like the anti-vaccination league came up with it. Look, the only attributions I see is for anything related to history of vaccines, anti-vaccination, Peter Hotez. So let's snuff out the anti-vaccine movement. The only associations I see is it being attributed to the anti-vaccine movement, which came from that little snippet of that newspaper.
I'm shocked. I'm shocked.
I know.
That,
isn't it like the fucking, like, ah.
Liberty cannot be given. It must be. It's almost like respect is not given its earned. Like it's all. Yeah. It's
dude,
a very.
Give me liberty or give me death. It's the same fucking level, dude. Like this is like we're not fucking around, ladies and gentlemen.
No.
So you guys, we're not playing around. So you guys go to antivaxleague.com. I just want to encourage you to sign up, email, name, get on the email list. It's just a landing page right now. We've got a little blurb about the mission. And we've got really the only links are to the Instagram and the Twitter. But we got lots of things planned. A lot of you are, it's going to be a resource, a repository, information, fun stuff, cool stuff. It's going to be whatever it's going to be. But, there's passionate people behind
neat
it. So,
stuff.
Yeah. So just come register, get on the email list, come follow us, shout it out, share it with your friends.
Yeah.
Just know that, there's, so anyway, I've just been like, it's been a very exhilarating week and a big part of it in many, many different ways. And a big part of that was this whole thing, getting this thing going. So anyway.
It's the idea of it. Itself is it hinges upon the anti-vax notion.
Yeah.
But the nuanced themes are almost, if not definitely, more pertinent. The ability to speak your mind without having being punished, right? Being able to do something that isn't infringing on somebody else's rights, and somehow the government can come in and say, well, no, you're punished for that. Right. It's like there's threads of there are people who are not anti-vax but are probably very pro First Amendment out there.
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm.
If that's the case, I mean, you don't have to agree with us. You agree with whoever you want. But the idea that back then you had people brave enough to speak up and take whatever, financial or criminal punishment that came to them from speaking their mind, that should be admired.
Yeah,
that mm-hmm. should be venerated. That mm-hmm. should be that should become some type of legacy. There, it shouldn't die. Right.
Yes.
Those historical records where people were speaking up and they were willing, and they probably knew, they most likely knew going in that they were going to be fined or they were going to be punished. Yep. That should not die. And like I said,
good point.
And here's the thing, for anybody who catches this clip or catches this episode, who isn't necessarily anti-vax or anti-COVID, even if you're not, that's fine. But there will be a time when you disagree with something that's happening in the mainstream, and you're going to want to speak out against it, and you're going to want to be able to have the full First Amendment right without having any punishment.
Yeah,
there's going to be. It might not come now. It might not come tomorrow. It might come in 2 years. It might come in 5. But it will come, and you're going to want to be afforded the rights that.
Yep.
We've been requesting this entire fucking show that we've been doing 59 fucking episodes.
Yeah.
And you're going to want the same rights that they wanted and they weren't afforded. So it is important to sort of, you don't have to idolize these people, but you should respect the process in which they did it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
Exercising their free speech rights.
Amen.
That's why we're not going to let it die. We're going to honor these people for what they did.
I'm going to go to a hotel in Las Vegas and I'm going to kill a bunch of people. You have no idea. I am a ticking time bomb.
Just don't use a bump stock. As long as you don't use a bump stock, you'll probably be okay, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, damn, you guys. So thank you all for hanging in there with us tonight. Like, that was a really fun one. Like, we even covered some more fun stuff live on there. It's almost every single paragraph we just happened upon in those, there was some nugget of just gold. So I can't wait to just pour through all these.
Shelby, I'll
send you all the PDFs as soon as we're done here.
I'm going to print them out.
But yeah, I'll get you guys the show notes here and look for it. Well, so I can't get them on Rockfin, but the podcast version, which, by the way, you guys know this goes out as an audio podcast as well. So please subscribe on Spotify, iTunes to The Unjected Show.
Let me ask you something. Do we have more engagement video versus audio?
Yes, way. It's so weird because usually on my show, like my other show, it's like way more audio than video.
I was going to say, Unfit Statesman, it's strictly like it's so much audio.
Yeah, exactly.
I get like
really?
I see the numbers. I'm constantly increasing from the audio perspective.
Me too.
And I can't get video at all.
Well, that's the funny thing about our show, the Injected Show, is that it's all video, and like there's like nobody listening on the audio podcast because we don't shout it out. So you guys get out there, listen, like get subscribe on iTunes, give us a 5-star. If you guys get write us a 5-star review, 5-star review on iTunes, we'll read it on the air. Shout you out.
Yeah.
Get out there. Yeah. Listen, here's the point. Get off your couch, get out there, lift a window out of a Vegas hotel.
Yes. And make a name for yourself.
You want to fucking be remembered or no?
Yeah, exactly.
You want to go down in history?
Yep. All right, guys. Fantastic episode. I'm very excited. And make sure you guys again, of course, unjected.com. Go support their work over there. Unjected official and all that.
And don't forget, you guys, go to Unjected, sign up, make a profile today, use the code UNJECTEDSHOW. It's going to give you 50% off. That's the best discount we offer anywhere, because if you guys are tuning in and you're here, we love you so much. So make sure you have a profile and go find your unvaxxed humans that are going to continue on fighting the good fight. Look at this. We've been doing this for so long, you guys.
Yeah.
You should be so proud.
Yeah. Oh, we got Napoleon watching on the Napoleon Bush Napoleon over there in the chat on Twitter. Big shout out. He was on InfoWars on the Alex Jones show. Big shout out, Napoleon. Good job, brother.
Slayed that.
Great Slayed job. That. Yep, that's how you do it, man. That's how we fight this information war, dude. All angles from all sides, all around this realm. And we're just going to kick them right in the balls every chance we get. And they got some big kicks in the balls this week, I tell you what, folks. So we're just going to keep kicking and kicking and kicking until the balls get sucked up into their body cavity. And then when they drop back, we're going to kick them again, dude. We're just going to fucking keep kicking them right in the balls.
They call it balls out the anus. It goes
balls out the anus. Yeah. Yeah. There you go.
All the way back.
There's some serious ball kicking.
And
this
they keep wiping and they say, my balls hurt when I wipe. It's because their balls are hanging out their anus. They're hitting the balls when they're wiping.
Right on. Well, Napoleon might have a surprise for us as well. Oh, let's see. I forgot I can do this. Watch this. I can do this. Oh, bam. It's like, So Napoleon says, no, we're no anti-vax at the start of this. Now, however, you would be crazy to trust them at all. What they tried to sell us as a vax is nothing of the sort. Yeah, he's like, he says, yes, get out of there. Be real, in the real. He says,
have you had live comments off this whole time?
No, dude, I don't know where these comments are coming from. I have no idea. They show up every now and again from Twitter, but I don't know where people are commenting on Twitter. I haven't been able to figure that out yet.
Napoleon, tell us where you're doing this.
Where are you doing this? Yeah.
We want to learn.
He says, happy to help with a trailer for you. So there may be an Unjected trailer surprise happening in New Zealand sometime soon. So that
I'm
might be kind
of so cool.
Is that where he's from?
He's in New Zealand. Yep.
Well, his name's Napoleon. His parents named him Napoleon.
No, that's his online name.
Oh, but, I was like,
yeah.
I think his name is Nick.
Nick. That's right. So anyway.
Holy Christ.
So no, he's crushing, dude. He made a big InfoWars like billboard. And he was on it with Alex Jones on Monday, I think it was. Mm. And so anyway,
that was so good. That was so good.
So awesome.
And when you were in that video, Napoleon, too, I noticed, like, could you hear the cars like honking as they went by, like in support? I was like,
yeah, that's so cool.
How'd the billboard thing turn out?
The Tennessee one?
We did another one. Yeah, for those of you that may not have heard, we did a billboard campaign in Nashville, Tennessee on a digital billboard, and we basically put it out there as like a test. Like I basically just made a quick graphic, nothing fancy, just to see if they would accept it. Like because basically you submit your design to this digital billboard company and then like they pop it up. It's called Blip Billboard. I'll give a shout out. Fucking shout out Blip Billboards, dude. You know,
dude.
I would just see if they would accept anything unjected or unvaxxed, like related. Like I was thinking, like, there's no way in this whole universe that there's a chance in hell that they would even accept this design. So I was just having fun with it. But lo and behold, they did. They did. They accepted the design. And well, see, this is the one that we put out there. This is the news. So this is the one we sent to Napoleon. It's a
New
different
Zealand.
So this is the New Zealand one. But look at this, unvaxxed legends, find dating, friendships, and community at unjected.com. It was this one, except it was the Tennessee flag right there instead of the New Zealand flag. But this was flying over the main freeway, Highway 65 through Nashville. Like,
you know what?
Legendary.
We should do one where we drop one in every state on one day. We just hit a billboard.
Yeah,
in every
what you should be doing is finding the states that it would cause like
the most chaos. Chaos.
Yeah, pissy.
Los Angeles. Los Angeles.
People get pissy and then
drive.
Dude, that's a great idea.
Yeah, where they would be the most pissy.
Dude,
they will take screenshots and share it. We'll go viral.
Garden State Parkway in New Jersey. The whole goddamn that's where Tracy Morgan got fucked up because nobody pays attention.
Damn.
Yeah, dude, we need to do one by Jimmy Fallon's studio.
Yeah, wherever we're right.
So you could do the West Side Highway. You can do Garden State Parkway.
Damn.
I would do I-80 out toward Pennsylvania. Do I-90 in South Dakota, like toward Rapid City.
Holy shit. We got to write some of these down, Zach.
Yeah, dude. We'll figure this out. We'll figure this out off the air. But anyway, so it was a very successful campaign. We don't know. Like, I don't really have any statistics other than the fact that, hey, your billboard appeared on this thing. So what I plan on doing is I plan on like picking one and having it designated to be only during between a certain hours and then just posting up there where I can see it and like maybe just filming it and trying to get a live capture of it. So,
yes.
So I want to do that. We'll do another one, but just the fact that we know now that we can advertise on digital billboards, like that is nuts. And it's cheap too. I spent $20 for 2 days worth of blips. And we got like 58 blips or something like that. Like, and each one's like 5 seconds for like $20. Like there was just a test. It was just a test run. So
we got to put the quote, the liberty cannot be given. It must be taken. We should put that on the billboards.
We should advertise the anti-vaccination.
Feel so fired up.
Yeah, dude. It's so good. All right. We'll be kicking balls all week, kicking the balls of tyrants all week, guys. And we'll see you next week. So till next time, stay natural.
Stay free. Stay injected.
Bam.
Bye, guys.
Peace.
Bye.